All right, Pat, how are you doing?
Amazing. Huge day of racing. I mean, we watched an Ironman as the reality. That's how long today was. We watched two insanely great races. So we're doing this podcast. It's a little bit different. I would say this is just we're calling this a first reaction,
Initial thoughts.
initial debrief, whatever you want. But what we're thrilled, we've got returning guests to the pod, 10th place today in the men's race. He's on the athlete board, Aaron Royal. So he's going to be coming on the pod. But I think let's just really quickly before we go into our recap of today, let's recognize the podium of the men in the women's race. So in the women's race, huge win for India Lee. Wow. Really exciting. Second place, Lucy Charles Barclay. Third place, fantastic race from Holly Lawrence. On the men's race, again, another banger. We had Magnus Ditlev with the win. Sam Long come from behind in second place. And then we had the guy that really drove the bike, Mathis Margier, on the run. And you might have just heard my phone beep. That could have been the goat shooting me a text, checking in. But I'm going to silence it because we got a big pod here right now.
Yeah, quick pod. As far as the podium goes, Pat, I mean, looking at the men's and women's race, what was the biggest surprise of the day for you?
Oh, India Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no two ways about it. I think, whether it was our pre-show that we talked about, whether it was the daily try picks that people were throwing up, I think the reality is that nobody had her picked for the win. And so she's certainly a favorite inside, we'll call it the field or the athletes. There was a lot of tears at the finish with people just, loving her story of being a journey woman in the sport and really finding her way. And so to have this win on this stage on the very, the first year of the T100 series, there's just no better way to open it for me. And for me, Magnus looked at me when she crossed the line. He looked at me and he said, he goes, "This is what sport is all about." He goes, "This is why we do what we do." And he goes, "It's for stories like this." And so to observe that and reflect on that, I thought was just a really cool moment. And Aaron, what do you think of it?
Yeah, I think you've summarized Indy's performance there pretty well. I think I don't know Indy super well, but obviously she's a British athlete, and my wife who's British grew up racing her from a long time. So she's been one of those ones that was stuck in a very, very strong British team, and she really struggled to probably showcase her talents a lot because yeah, she wasn't always afforded the opportunities with race starts, and when she did, it was maybe last minute because someone else has pulled out. So, yeah, like you said, I think it's one of the fan favorites. And I think everyone loves a good underdog story. So, yeah, that was great to see. And on the men's side, I wouldn't say it was certainly. I think Magnus probably came in with as certainly as one of the favorites. Sam Long, again, like he would be one of the favorites. But I must say, like, that was a really impressive performance by Sam. I know how good of an athlete he is, but to work his way back from almost being lapped on the bike is insane. We were actually just having dinner with Sam Long and Mathis Magier. And Sam was saying how he got a hurry on from someone on the side because he was only 20 seconds from being lapped. And Matisse actually said, "Well, if I knew, I would have put the hammer down to lap you out." But no, that was actually an incredible race by Sam. And I personally take a lot of motivation, I guess, from that, or whatever it is, inspiration probably is the right word, that he just finds a way to just continually keep his head in the game because it could easily have been like day over when he realized how close he was to being lapped out. And then, yeah, I would say it's not super surprising, Matisse, but for a lot of people, a lot of listeners, they probably don't know much about him. But if you go and have a look at his results on the Pro Tri News, or Pro Tri News, the Professional Triathlete Organization website, you'll see like this has been coming all last year. So yeah, good race. And for me personally, I mean, yeah, I was 10th. I was hoping for a little bit more, but yeah, first race of the year, and we get to go again in in Singapore in 5 weeks' time.
Okay, and then obviously the big factor today was the weather. So, you know, it was reported high 80s, insane humidity.
Big wind on the men's side.
And then crazy wind on the men's side.
Yeah.
And I think what we talked about in the preview show was, are people going to get lapped? Are there going to be a group? And, you know, I thought maybe in the men's race, I was kind of thinking one or two guys were going to get lapped. In the women's race, I thought maybe three or four were going to get lapped. It almost ended up being damn near half the field in the men's race. And from basically lap two, the men's race completely shattered. So there was a front group of 10. That broke down into, like, there was, then it went to five. Then it even got chopped down to just two. And then, you know, as Magnus regained with Sam Laidlow, then they eventually caught, but not until the very last lap, basically, to those front group of two.
Yeah.
Aaron, because you were in the race, I think, walk us through, I guess, just how hard the conditions were today.
Yeah, it was up there with Singapore last year, and anyone that watched that or was in the race, they can understand that how hard that was. Yeah, it was, especially for the men. I think for the women, they were quite lucky that what they raced when the sun was down, so they didn't have that sort of heat bearing down on them. It just made it, and almost what I touched on with Sam Long, he just kept his head in the game, and that's what I was trying to tell myself, is like, just keep your head in the game, because it's a tough day, and if you can just keep fighting, you may be able to get a better result than you think you're going. Obviously on the bike, you've got the wind, you know, cooling you down, the cooling effect. So it wasn't too bad. I mean, you did feel warm, but it wasn't too bad. But on that run, it was brutal. And like Pat said, there was the headwind section on half the lap, which was actually quite nice. It's what kept you cool. And then on the tailwind, it was, yeah, quite brutally warm. And you'll see by the run times, and particularly, and then if you compare them to the women's ones, they weren't super quick. You know, it's just because of the heat.
Could you just compare this to racing like early season here versus like early season draft legal or anything like that, or just overall over the last couple seasons racing this early, like what it does to you, and like, do you use it as a benchmark, as a guide to the rest of your season, or like, what do you do?
I think everyone's individual. Like, certain people probably prefer to really hit the start of the season and maybe have a bit of a lull in the middle and then try and hit the end of it. For me personally, I know I'm normally not as great at the start of the year. Ideally, I wouldn't be racing in early March. I know I take a little bit longer to get fit, and I certainly took a good, decent break at the end of last year. But yeah, it's hard, man. It's, you know, we've got eight races to do. Eight races like this. It's kind of crazy to think that there's going to be another seven of them. So it's you really have to pick your races, I think.
Okay, and then I think we've seen enough of this 100K distance now to really grab some themes here. We talked a lot about, and Bugs, you and I have talked about this a lot offline, but it sure seems like the tactic from this 100K racing is, you are going full gas, and the running now is almost just gotten so slow because everyone has gone
way
all in
on
the run, all in on the swim, and then they're doing 80K on the bike, full gas. And so, you know, previously you would see guys running this, and there would be, they'd be, you know, clicking off a lot of like 310s, 315Ks, and now it just seems that these races, like, the speed has come down on the run. So if you can just run 325s or consistent 330s, like, you're damn near guaranteed a podium with like what would be deemed in most cases as like mediocre running. But is this going to be the global theme for this 100K series? Like, is this how they're going to be raced, where it's just you die basically on the run?
I hope not, because it's a brutal way to do a race. Trust me. But no, I think, I mean, I've been saying for the last year that it's almost race like an Olympic distance, and then just kind of survival of the fittest, who can hold on. I'm not sure. I think the women are probably racing a bit more smarter than the men, in terms of they're kind of racing a bit more to what they know they can hold throughout a whole 3.5 hour event, where the men are, I don't think they're doing that. But I do think that's probably, you're probably seeing, let's say, like a net faster time. It's just a different way of racing where they're probably riding 6 to 8 minutes quicker sometimes than races, say, 5 to 10 years ago. And yeah, they might be running a bit slower, but you're making it up. I think people will start to figure out their way of racing it. It's still a relatively new distance. I know it's kind of close to that half, but it's still like it's a little bit shorter. So people probably think that they can go a bit harder, but essentially it is probably closer to a half. So yeah, it's going to take time for people to figure it out. And if you look at someone like Jason West, I think he takes, and today probably wasn't, you know, I'm sure he was hoping for a little bit more, but typically a lot of his races last year, he raced really, really smart and maybe like that old school way of kind of really just riding to what he knows he can and then getting off and we saw what he could run. So, yeah, I think it's going to take a bit of time for people to figure out the best way to race and, yeah, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Let's talk a little bit about how different the racing was from the men and the women. Not only just from the weather, obviously, but also just the dynamics. I feel like there wasn't really, I was actually quite surprised that, I don't know why I was surprised, but Daniela didn't start catching until later in the bike. Obviously we know she's a back half racer and was able to race her way into fifth place today, which was awesome. So just from the men's and the women's race, you had two guys go off the front of the men's race and basically stayed at the front. Both of them, only one of them ended up on the podium. Alistair didn't take any pulls on the bike, regardless of being asked to or what have you. And then as Magnus started catching, that's when Sam Laidlow kind of came alive and he got on Magnus's wheel and then they kind of worked together to get up the road. As far as the women's race, you had Lucy Charles and Lucy and Buckingham working together for a first couple of laps, and then Lucy was in no man's land for a while, just off the front by herself. And then Indy Lee kind of came up into the fold towards the end of the bike, and then obviously extended the gap to the win. Do you think that there's going to be more racing like this? And it's unfortunate. I don't know if it's unfortunate, but if you weren't at the race, you couldn't really see the race unfolding as we could, because on the broadcast you only saw the front leaders basically. There's a lot to unpack there. So
I think I'm going to go back to and just say, you know, look, I think on the day what you're going to have or what we're going to see here on these championship style events, right? Because this is a really high stakes day, and I think, you know, what blew me away today was just the amount of dropouts that there were. And the DNFs?
50% of the men.
No.
It wasn't.
I think 15 or 14 men finished.
Yeah, I think it was 14 or 15. But so you had a 25% attrition rate basically in both races.
Yeah.
25% of the field dropped out. Now, you know, I don't necessarily know why that is and if that's gonna continue to be the norm. But where it's gonna have an impact is now if one of your 6 of 8 races you came here, you really get nothing for it now. This is one that you can drop because they score 5 of those 6 that you have to do. So now the pressure's really
three.
On.
It's 3 plus the grand final.
Because the Olympic athletes only score 3 plus the grand final. Yeah.
Understood. Okay. But now you're really down one, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like you've got to come back and you got to try and level up from that. So I looked at today in the men and the women's race and the people that dropped out, and it's like, whether you're in the series and you have a contract, or there were some people today that were granted wild cards that DNF'd, and it's like that you may not get that opportunity to come back and do that race again, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I mean, certainly the heat and the elements had something to do with it, but it just it felt to me like a real one-day championship, and people raced it that way instead of thinking, okay, shoot,
this is a series.
I should put some points on the board.
Yeah.
And I think that in retrospect, that might be a decision that people really kind of screwed up.
Yeah. Let's go back to that real quick. So Aaron, you're required, according to your contract, to do four races or five races?
Five plus the grand final.
Five plus the grand final, and you're only scored for three plus the grand final.
Yeah.
So you can technically have two bad races, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're racing the Olympics, obviously. Then you could...
Well, you can also, you don't... I mean, you could race eight races, right? You could do them all. So you could technically then have five bad races or four plus, you know... So it depends how you target it. But yeah, you have... Your contract is, for everyone other than the Olympic athletes, five races within the series plus the grand final, and your three best plus the grand final count towards your end of season ranking.
All right. Can we go into a little bit of nuance around probably what's developed in the series since this has happened?
Yeah, I mean, I was the person that said Mathias Margier was going to win the series, and he got third place today.
Okay,
so
well...
I'm over the moon.
Well, good. I think one big nuance that has evolved is probably the relationship with World Triathlon
mm-hmm.
and the evolution of how we thought the wild cards were going to be awarded, and now how they're having to be distributed in probably... a more organized fashion than
do you know more
predicted.
About that, Aaron? About the wild card situation, how that's kind of getting...
No, I don't. I think my understanding is this race, it kind of came a little bit too last minute to have something set in stone. So I believe that World Triathlon, the wild cards will be through ranking-based, but I'm not sure whether that's going to be the case moving forward. But for now, I think, or certainly for this race, it was rankings based.
Yep. So there's a thought, right, that originally with the wild cards, we thought they were going to be able to go all over. It doesn't matter ranking, right? And this is going to happen. This is going to come into play in a post Olympics where athletes like a, you know, could be Christian Blumenfeld, it could be a Hayden Wild, on the women's side, it could be a Beth Potter that just put their hand up and say, "Hey, I'd like to go do a PTO race." And where the confusion lies is that will the T100 series have a similar ranking system to how World Triathlon is done in these short course races, where you have to go down a list and there's an order and a policy and a procedure on how athletes get into a race. And you can't just put your hand up and the body, the T100, gets to pick from that as they wish. So I think that's probably where there's been a little bit of... I don't want to say confusion, but we have yet to see how that process will be laid out. And I think it's going to be done in a more organized way. So I think that's probably one piece if we're backing into it and thinking about where do we go from here.
Yeah. Let's talk wild cards real quick of this race. So you had Yuri Kolin, who got fourth place, which is a huge result for him as far as the grand final rankings and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see if he gets another call up. I believe whenever we did the pod with Sam Renouf, he said that they would have to score significant points in three or four races in order to be almost considered to be amongst the crowd for the WTCS race. And then Menno Kuhlhaas, who got sixth place as a wild card. And then on the women's side, you had Haley Chura, I believe, was the highest wild card athlete. She got seventh place. And then Katie got ninth.
Great.
Kivioa?
Kaidi.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah. From Estonia.
Yeah.
And then, look, the other thing we got to probably address, there was a 90-minute blackout on the audio today for the broadcast. So there was no audio for 90 minutes for the women's race. Our understanding is that it was the NASCAR team that dropped the ball here and not the T100.
I think it was just a big miscommunication. All
right.
Like, I don't think it needs to be like us pointing the fingers of whose fault it is. It's just it's an unfortunate thing to have happen in the first race of the year for the T100.
I guess like the broader question though, the overarching question is, you know, we talk, or Sam talks, or the PTO talk a lot about wanting to make this mainstream, right? And it's one sample size, so it's hard to be critical, or I certainly don't want to be critical, but I just want to get your guys' opinions on, you know, what we saw today, where we're at, how do we get mainstream? You know, we're in a my thought, I'm looking around the stadium, and I'm going, and I'm looking at the amount of people there, and I'm looking at a NASCAR track with thousands of seats, And I'm thinking, if we want to be mainstream, how do we get from having those 100 people on the side to having those stands completely full? Because that's effectively what they're aiming for, barring having a Taylor Swift concert after. Like, how do we get there? And how do you assess what you saw today?
Well, Magnus would be stoked about a Taylor Swift concert because his walkout song was Taylor Swift today. So,
oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Look, I think there's a couple realities, and there's a big thing that, you know, that I saw and that I was thinking, and I wish that there was.
If your wristband was not gold and it did not say media, you basically had a difficult time spectating the race.
Your experience was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that I was just wishing for, and that I recognize that really benefits this sport, is when there's giant age group racing attached to it. So in the case of when we were at the US Open in Milwaukee last year, now that was a USAT run national championship in tandem and in conjunction with this. And the vibe and the energy was fantastic. And I think what we've come to realize and figure out is that we keep saying it amongst friends, is that there needs to be massive age group racing attached to this.
Yeah.
So I don't care who the PTO aligns with, whether it's a national federation, whether it's some sort of other events company, but there needs to be.
There's got to be something.
There's got to be something else with it, because the reality is that there wasn't enough people here, and that's
a bit of atmosphere.
You lacked a bit of atmosphere, and I think part of that was that you know, this venue and this facility is set up to have automobiles on it that are traveling 200 miles an hour, and then the spectators to be safe, right?
Yeah.
So there's a gap between where the spectators normally are and where the vehicles are going.
Mm-hmm.
And today, what they didn't realize is that that gap shouldn't have existed. The fans should have been able to be in the grass, and kind of really have a lot more, have way less distance to the athletes. But I mean, there was, even we had on these special wristbands today, and our communication to the athletes could not be heard.
Oh, I mean,
we were so far away.
And we
had premier access. And so I think that was probably just understanding the facility and the race we were at, and to go, okay, well, how can we create some areas where the fans could be?
I don't foresee that happening in, say, San Francisco for the T100.
Well, it didn't happen in at any other.
It didn't happen in Milwaukee.
Didn't happen in Milwaukee. Just, didn't happen in Dallas. It was, there needed to be some understanding of where we could have the grounds today and understand that we weren't racing automobiles at a super high speed.
And certainly, like, especially for a race like this where it probably was lacking a bit of a crowd, how do you get that limited crowd engaged? And like you said, not having it behind, you know, the barriers, bringing them out. Because I think for the men there was a bigger crowd just because it was earlier in the day, and by the time the women were racing it was late, so I think a few people had gone. But even for us it kind of felt like they were a long way away. I couldn't hear anyone or anything really out on course.
You couldn't even hear me in my loud voice.
I could actually hear Kyle. Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure I could hear you. But yeah, I guess that's one thing. So the atmosphere, but then I guess the other thing is the broadcast, and we were all there, so we can't really, I don't think, comment too much other than what we did on the dropout.
I thought the broadcast was, I mean, the broadcast with the way it looks on TV, it looks fine. It's just, I mean, it's a little confronting when you see that there's not a lot of people at the race. And so I think that's the only thing, but the coverage.
I had people texting me saying, is there anyone even there? Like, is there anyone with you guys?
Right.
Is there at the race?
I mean, that's an issue, but I think the actual, we got to recognize that, like, okay, we want to see the race, and you could see the entire race today. Mm-hmm. It's just had they opened the gates and people would have been able to go out into the grass, there were a fair bit of people at the men's race.
Yeah.
And it would have looked better on TV had that just been able to get out of the, you know, we're behind these concrete barriers to ensure safety if we were at the NASCAR race. So I think that's the biggest difference.
I think so there maybe were a few things that could be improved for future races, but I think the racing was good.
The racing was fantastic.
The racing was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, the race, like, you couldn't have asked for a better situation with someone like India Lee winning the race on the women's side, and then Magnus coming up through the fold
late in the race
to take the win. So hats off to the athletes for putting on an absolute show for all of us.
How, okay, and a big thing that we've debated and will continue to, how do we feel about the 20 athletes race?
I still disagree with it completely. You'll have, think of the attrition you have in a typical, like, take the race itself out. So like T100, PTO, whatever. You look at a 70.3 start list and you have an attrition rate of probably about, if you have 50 people doing the race, you have 5 people. So 10% that'll drop out of the race. If you bring this to 30 people, then the PTO doesn't have to freak out and be like, we got to fill this start list before next week. Who's going to come and do this race? You have 30 people on the start list, then you're like, oh, we lost 3 people. We're still going to have 27 people. Great. Now we don't have to fill this. But if you have, you contracted 20 people now, and then now 3 people aren't racing, and you're at 17 athletes, people are like, well, 3 of them swim really good, and then I don't know where everyone else is going to be, so I don't even know how this broadcast is going to look. But that's just my personal opinion. I think it needs to be 25 to 30 athletes. That's just me.
I think that the magic number that we might get to is probably going to be around 25. Bugs, as an athlete, what do you think?
I probably want to see a bit more, to be honest. I think I would have certainly agreed with you, Kyle, after Singapore. I thought that watching that one, especially, and I guess today was similar conditions to what we'll see in Singapore, but I just felt like in those conditions, it quickly split up and it just became a bit of a dull race. I was in the men's race, so I didn't watch it, so I don't know how that was perceived. But when I was watching the women's race, I got to say I didn't find that super exciting just because, yeah, like I said, with the low numbers. I think today was quite exciting, so I think today probably showed you can do it and make an exciting race off 20. Yeah, where we land. I think the PTO have been quite open, and well, Sam's been quite open and honest. They don't know for sure what the right number is. They've landed on 20 this year, and they're going to reassess at the end of the year. And I think if we, the public, the athletes, the PTO, think that there should be more, I think we will have more next year.
All right.
I think that you can call it a world championship with 20 athletes. That's a comment, yes, that was made on, yes, our Instagram. Do you think that you can still call,
yes,
it?
This is coming from Americans that call the Super Bowl champions the world champion.
There's 32
teams. Yeah, all from what country? Yeah.
I we can debate the number, and I think that will continue to evolve as the season rolls on. You know, the one thing, again, that I'm going to be stuck on and thinking about is what happens to, and what's going to happen with these wild cards? There were some wild cards that dropped out of the race, right? And so you have these people that, rightfully so, they potentially earned a wild card spot, but they dropped out. But if World Triathlon rules are enforced and they're called on again to get a wild card spot for Singapore, have they earned the right to be a wild card again?
There was only one from the men, Greg Barnaby.
I didn't want to say names because I didn't want to pick on anybody, but I'm just, this is gonna keep coming
for the women. So 3 wild cards of how many was there? 10?
I don't know. But I see your point. My gut feeling is that it won't be based on rankings going forward.
But will the World Triathlon enforce it to be?
You'll have to get Sam on the podcast for that, because, yeah, that's above my level of knowledge. But I don't think so. I think that moving forward, based on what I'm hearing, is that it won't be on rankings. Okay. It will be, you know, because World Triathlon themselves, for a WTS race, get a wild card that isn't off rankings, they have their own criteria, yeah, as the PTO have their criteria, which you can find online, as to what athlete deserves or what characteristics or circumstances that you've had to face recently to be eligible for a wild card.
Yep.
So yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And just quickly on back to your, is 20 enough? And I'm not joking here, but it's kind of just an observation or something I was just thinking of then. You know, I know you're a big F1 fan. You only have 20 in that. Like, I think it is. If you have 20 of the best, I think that's enough to consider it a world championship.
Yeah. Well, you only have 20. I mean, we can get into the deeper dynamics of why there's only 20, but back in the day, there was obviously more. But
okay. Another piece that I wish Mark Matthews was here to kind of work this one through. But what happens today if Alistair Brownlee doesn't ride with Matisse? Or let's say he rides with Matisse, but instead of getting a one-minute lead straight away on the run, what if he just keeps it in check for 8K? Do we have a different winner of today's race?
I think potentially. Let's look real quick. So the first... Let's look at the first 5K.
Why are you doing that? While Kyle's trying to get the splits up. I'll answer. What I think. Yeah, I think... Well, sorry. I don't want to say yes, he would have beaten Magnus, but I think he would have given himself a better chance, for sure. And I think we would have seen him on the podium. But that's just the way Alistair races. And I know in the recent years, it hasn't yielded the results probably that he is capable of. But he's got 2 Olympic gold medals. He's got multiple world champ. Like, you know, it's just what he's. It's ingrained. It's the way he's raced. I mean, you probably saw the post that he put up yesterday. I don't know if you did, but he put up a post. Going to try and aim first race of the year. Going to try and aim for a steady away race, just a bit more controlled. But we'll see what happens when the gun goes. He just can't control himself, you know. So, I'm convinced that he will continue to race this way. And I'm also convinced that before he retires, he will win one race in that way. Whether that's this year or next year or in the years to come. But it probably won't be consistent like we used to see.
No splits, Kyle? We can't get,
I mean, it's just... So he ran basically the first mile, he ran out at a 3:06.
Well, I wouldn't look
3:06.
I wouldn't look at that. I'd just look at how much quicker he was than everyone else.
I mean, he left transition.
He dumped Matthias dropped, was down almost 45 seconds.
After how long?
After almost 3K.
Yeah, so Matthias was running at this point. Yeah, so he's running low threes in a super hot, hard race.
Insane conditions.
This is my plea to Alistair, and I'm just assuming he listens to the pod because we're awesome.
He definitely doesn't listen to the pod.
Just do the first 5K at 3:30 per K pace and just let us see you back half it.
Wait, yeah, what you're saying, but maybe say it to Ruth because I'm pretty sure Ruth listens to the pod. So,
Ruth, please, could you just... come to one of these and let's put five people out on the first 5K of the run and just report his kilometer splits to him. Because he can win one if he can do that first 5K slower. I would love to see it. He demonstrated today that he's insanely bike fit and he had some control on the bike. He was really tactical. We know we had dinner with Matisse tonight. He asked Alistair to pull through, and he said, no, I'm not going to do it. He bluffed him through it. You know, Matisse kept pulling at that insane speed. So,
you think Matisse does that again? You think he would do it again?
Yeah.
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 100%.
One, he can, and two, it's getting results. So yeah. That's his game.
Yeah.
Matisse has not, still to this day, I said it on the pod, whatever we did the preview show, has not finished worse than fourth place in a T100 series style race.
He's done two, yeah.
He's raced.
Fourth and third. Yeah.
And here.
Yeah, so how many has he done?
He's done four.
He's done four?
Yeah.
PTO races.
Yeah. Let me pull it up. I'll pull it up.
Yeah, come on.
Go for it, yep.
You could be right. But like I said to you, like, he's
He's still relatively young. Well, certainly in terms of middle.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right, too. So, that's right. So, I said 70.3 Worlds was fourth place.
Yeah.
US Open fourth place, and then third place here. So, in World Championship style racing, has not finished outside of fourth place.
All right. So, what could we...
Where do we go from here?
Any other thoughts from today in Miami?
The best thing to move forward on from here, obviously the BTO has updated all of their rankings, and those are all live on the website, on the PTO Hub. You can find the T100 Series rankings for the men and the women, and I think that everyone is just super excited to watch the rest of the races coming up in Singapore. One last final thought. How can we improve from the first race of the year here in Miami to Singapore?
Yeah, I think we kind of touched I think doing, again, high quality races, good quality athletes lining up, trying to create a good atmosphere around and having a good production that doesn't cut out. And yeah, I think we're there. Like I said, it's the first race of the series, so we can't be critical. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I hope everyone else that listened and watched today is looking forward to the next race. Pat,
I can't wait to watch Singapore. The people that got the heat prep right for this are gonna smash it again in Singapore.
It's going to be interesting to see who ends up going for the men and the women. I've heard conflicting reports of, like, some of the men may not go, some of the women may not go. Like, some people might still be eyeing Oceanside. While a hot topic of conversation this weekend was that Oceanside closed registration a week early, so now people are in a bad situation trying to still get into, I guess, Oceanside. And so,
well, Paula Finlay didn't get in.
Didn't get in. Can you imagine?
No, it's crazy.
She'll
get in. It'll be fine. But
it'd be the stupidest thing
I meant to. Yeah. No. It's
what's one thing the PTO needs to get right in Singapore? One thing. T100. I don't know what they want to go by, because it's like
you know, look, I would,
one thing, Pat. 10 words or less.
Just somehow, and just make sure the fans are taken care of. Today, I didn't feel like the fans were taken care of.
Yeah.
Go above and beyond for them, for the fans.
In Singapore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bus them in if you have to. Pay them.
Just figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fair. Well, thank you all for listening. Obviously, this was a quick kind of roundtable debrief from the racing that happened this weekend. How, obviously, Aaron Royal joining the show. We're going to try and do more of these with, like, professional athletes coming on the pod, just because it helps create a better perspective for the athletes and those that are listening. So, Bugsy, can you tell us where we can follow you? You want to give a shout-out to your sponsors? What do you want to do?
go follow me on Instagram, Aaron Royal. And, yeah, you can see my sponsors there. And, yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It's been good. It's been nice to debrief. Always love coming on the pod, so thanks for having me.